Hello, and welcome to the Developmental Edit. I'm your host, Christine Petty from Last Page Editorial, and I'm here to help you write books that readers can't put down. This week, I wanted to talk about something that I like to call world building versus world dumping. Now, you may have heard the term info dumping before. It's something a lot of times when I came across it, I found it in the neurodivergent online discussions that are out there. And as soon as I read it, I was like, oh yeah, I do that. I absolutely do info dumping. That makes sense to me. Info dumping is when you basically just are like a fire hydrant of information about a specific topic that you're interested in or that you're thinking about. And it kind of takes over a conversation. And it's something that people who are neurodivergent do when they're excited about something and when they are trying to show that they care about somebody. So they're sharing something important to them, which is great. But also it's something that we kind of have to rein in sometimes and understand that it can put a damper on the conversation. So I'm taking the term info dumping and turning it into what I call world dumping in literature. And that is when a writer forces all of the details about their world building into the first few chapters in an effort to immerse the reader in the world because they really want them to get it. They want them to see it. They want them to feel like they're there. And it's a good intention, but it's a bad execution. So instead of world dumping, we need to be working on world building. A world building, you can think of a better way to do it would be kind of like a drip irrigation system. And if you're not familiar with what drip irrigation is, it's basically where you have hoses in a garden or a farm that are on the ground or under the ground that slowly you turn the water on, and instead of just spraying everything down with a bunch of water at one big time, you just turn the water on and it will drip water slowly into the soil directly, and it's an easier way to water your plants. And it just kind of, it gives them just enough to keep going. It doesn't overwater, it doesn't underwater, it just slowly keeps a steady pace where the plants can get enough. So if we take this idea of drip irrigation, it's basically, in layman's terms, in the terms that people will probably be more familiar with, it's like giving little morsels, giving Easter eggs to your readers that make them excited because it makes them want to read more about this world, to discover it more. You don't want to put everything on them in the first few chapters. You want them to be curious and excited to explore and want to keep reading. Yes, because of your characters. Yes, because of their journey that they are going on and the character arc that you're creating. Yes, because of the plot and the story itself, but also because they're excited to get the next Easter egg, the next morsel, the next drip from your world building. So how do we do that? How do we do that effectively? I would say the first thing to do is to remember that, and I believe I learned this from N.K. Jemisin when I was watching her masterclass that she was doing. But basically, she said that the closer to our world that your world that you're creating is, the less detail and explanation you're going to need. So if you're writing a modern fiction story or a rom-com kind of thing, like a romantic story, a thriller, or mystery or YA novel, whatever, but it's set in our modern current times, you're not going to need to give that much detail or explanation for things that we're all familiar with already. So if your character is going to the mall to do something, you don't have to describe the mall. Most of us have already been to a mall. If they are doing something in a place that most people from our world haven't been, then yeah, you might want to give a little bit of explanation, but a lot of times, even if we haven't been there ourselves, like I've never been to a science lab, but I've watched several TV shows and movies where there are science labs. So you can just kind of give a brief description of the lab, and my brain is going to fill in that detail. The thing is that you're going to give just enough detail to allow the reader to build the world in their own mind and let their imagination do some of that heavy lifting for you. It's kind of like in the movie Inception, which is a great movie if you haven't seen it. But in the movie Inception, when they're explaining how to create the dream world that they're building, and the character of Ariadne is going to be the architect of the dream. What's his name? Cobb, played the guy that it's Leonardo DiCaprio. Anyway, Cobb explains to her that she's going to build the basics of it, but the dreamer that's dreaming the dream is going to fill in the rest of it from their own imagination. So that's essentially also what you're doing as a world builder, as whatever you're doing in your story. Now, the farther away you get from, this is the second part of what M.K. Jemisin said, but the farther away you get from our real world, the more explanation and the more detail you're going to need to provide. So if you're writing fantasy or sci-fi or a dystopian, something that happens in the future, or even historical fiction where it's kind of familiar maybe, but not quite, it's still very different to the current time we're living in now, then you're going to need to give more explanation and more detail. In that instance, my recommendation is to focus on what the character, the main character, whoever it is that we're following through the story, focus on what they are experiencing in the moment. And I will give this example. I'm going to keep using Harry Potter as an example because it's kind of universal. I think most people have read it, or at least seen the movies. But when we are going to Hogwarts for the first time, you're going to need to give us a picture of it in our mind. Like, we've seen castles, and a lot of us have seen Scotland, like our pictures of it, obviously. That's what I mean. So we can kind of figure out what it is. We know what it's like. If you say, you know, the turrets or whatever, we're going to picture turrets in our head. Even if we don't really know, we're going to be like, oh, that's those tower things on the castles. Okay, cool. So you're going to use things that, like, we're going to follow Harry Potter through the story. We're going to follow him. And when he sees something, we see it. When he's experiencing it, we're experiencing it. You don't need to tell me everything about Hogwarts. You don't need to explain the common rooms yet. You don't need to tell me any of those things until I need to get to them. That's going to be what draws your reader in. In art, for example, when you're composing a painting or a drawing, there's going to be a focal point that you're going to paint around so that it draws the reader's eye further into the painting. Like, if it's a landscape or a city, it's going to like draw their eye down a certain path, and they're going to wish that they could go into the painting and into the drawing and follow that path. That's what you're doing. So as we go through and we are seeing more and more things, it's bringing us further and further into the world. And you can do that slowly, and you can do that over the course of one book or a series of books. And if you're in a series of books, make sure you're holding back some of the world building detail for when we're going to need to see it later on. And to give another Harry Potter example, Thestrals are these, it's a breed of horses, it's a magical breed of horses that have wings and skeletal bodies. They're dark in color, and they're like skeleton horses, basically. And only people who have lost someone, who have seen death, can see the Thestrals. Thestrals have always been there, but we don't see them until book five. So until the Order of the Phoenix, we don't see a Thestral. In fact, we don't even meet Luna. Luna Lovegood doesn't show up until the Thestrals show up, and that's in book five. She's been there the whole time. You guys, we could have had Luna for four more books, but we didn't. We could have seen Thestrals for four more books, but we didn't. We didn't see them until we needed to see them. And as much as I would love more time with Luna Lovegood, at the same time, it's okay, because it's going to be, again, hold back your details, hold back your world building, even hold back some of your characters, even if they're going to become like super amazing, beloved characters. You don't have to make sure they're there from the beginning. As long as we know that they've been there and it makes sense in the world and we're experiencing it as the character is experiencing it, then it's going to be great and people are going to love it. Now, one thing I would caution you about is to be careful about breaking the fourth wall. Breaking the fourth wall is when, for example, in a play or a movie, TV show, when a character is going through their life and they're talking to the other characters in the show or the play, but then all of a sudden they break what's called the fourth wall. They look through the screen at you or into the audience of a stage play and they speak directly to the audience. The best example and most recent example that I can think of is, of course, Fleabag, because she's constantly talking to the audience. She breaks the fourth wall multiple times. Now, and of course, this can be used well. And I'm not talking about not breaking the fourth wall in that sense necessarily. What I'm talking about in world building is there's been several times when I've been reading something and it's a fantasy or it's sci-fi, but then they will use a phrase or a word or a description that doesn't fit the world that they've been building. It fits the world that I'm in, but to me, it kind of breaks that illusion and it pulls me. It almost feels like someone's yanking me from the back of my shirt, like yanking me back out of the world they've been building. I hate when that happens. It really, really bothers me. So be really careful when you're choosing words, when you're choosing descriptions, when you're choosing how to express something. Don't break the fourth wall. Keep your reader in the world you've been creating. Now, if you want to write that and use that as a plot device where like the character will talk to the reader directly or something, that's a different story. But I'm just talking about world building here. To give an example of when I've seen this in shows or movies, in some of the, I can't remember which one it was. Might've been The Force Awakens in the newer Star Wars movies. I just remember there was one time when Kylo Ren was walking past a couple of stormtroopers with his little bodyguard minion, different class of stormtrooper, like his personal guard or whatever. But anyway, and the stormtroopers, they passed, like looked at each other and like, oh, dude, goals, basically. Like that's what they were saying. They literally said the word goals. And it bothered the shit out of me. I was like, no, no. No, they wouldn't say that. It really bugged me. Also, in the same series, later on, they said Godspeed to some people who were the rebels who were escaping. Someone who stayed behind said Godspeed, rebels. And I was like, they wouldn't say Godspeed. Like, God, as most people think of it, is in our world, is a more of a monotheistic Christian type of deity. And in the world of Star Wars, they would say, may the force be with you, or something like that. They would have said that. They wouldn't have, I don't think they would have said Godspeed. That also bothered me. Maybe I'm just being picky. I don't know. Another time when the fourth wall was broken was, this is just me. And I'm just gonna, it irks me. It just bothers me. I have to tell someone. In Game of Thrones, I think it was in the seventh, the last, or what was it? The seventh or the eighth, was there eight seasons? I don't remember. We try to block out the end of it, don't we? But anyway, basically there was this one time when Arya is going through the forest. She comes across a bunch of guards that are supposed to be from King's Landing. And one of them just happens to be Ed Sheeran and he's singing around a campfire. There's no reason for Ed Sheeran to be in the woods singing around a campfire in Westeros. Like, there's absolutely no reason for that, but he was there. And it just broke the fourth wall for me because they had been building up this world for such a long time that, and then they were just like, nah, let's just give Ed Sheeran a cameo. That'll be fine. We can make him sing and people will love it. And I just, it bothered me. So yeah, that's just something I just recommend avoiding. Now, if you're not sure if you've had too much detail or explanation or not enough detail and explanation, the best thing to do is just wait for feedback from either your friendly neighborhood developmental editor or from beta readers and see what they say. If they, I'd ask specifically, if that's something that you're worried about, let them know before they read it. Like, hey, I really want to make sure that my world building is solid. I want to make sure that I'm not giving too much information and world dumping, but I also want to make sure that I'm like solidly giving you something to go with and work with in your own imagination. And ask for that kind of feedback. That will give you good information to work with so that you can go back and add or edit as you will to make sure that a reader is getting a good experience from your world building. So I'm sure there's more that I could say, and some of it was just a rant, but those are my tips for world building right now. If you have other questions about world building, please send them to me at christine@lastpageeditorial.com. That's my email, and I will be happy to either answer your question, or if I don't know the answer, I will research it and I will figure it out and I will share it with you as soon as I find answers for it. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I hope that you found something helpful in this episode. If you'd like to work with me to edit your manuscripts or to do a beta read or coaching, you can find all of my services on my website, which is lastpageeditorial.com. And you can connect with me on Instagram at lastpageeditorial as well. And if you like this episode, please like it, share it, subscribe, hit a button, send it to somebody who might benefit from it, leave a review. That would be amazing. I really appreciate you. And yeah, I'll be back soon with another episode. And I also want to say, oh, there's another thing. I keep doing this where I just think of something right before the end. Even if you're writing something that's more modern or more close to our present day current circumstances, you're still world building. So don't think that this is only for, you know, sci-fi fantasy writers or anything like that. You are still world building, and every detail that you include helps make your story come alive and feel more real to readers. So this is for everybody. Anyway, I hope it was helpful, and thank you for listening. I hope you have a great week, and go build amazing stories and amazing worlds for your readers to wander around in and have a great time exploring. Bye.
This is the end of the show. I hope you liked it. This is the end of the show. I hope you found it somewhat helpful. And if you have any questions or you just like to connect, I'm on Instagram at lastpageeditorial. Have a great day.